When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Dear Muslims, we are about to enter the most sacred 10 days of the entire year, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And these are the days that we should reflect and remind ourselves not only of the blessings of these days, but also of the story, the origin of where and how these days became so sacred. Because it was during these days, thousands of years ago, that the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam did certain actions and rituals. The Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam legislated for us what we now do in the rites of Hajj. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala earmarked those very footsteps that Ibrahim and Hajar and Ismail, they did. The piety of one person, the rituals of one person, the sacrifice of one person, the legacy of one person has been etched into our Sharia. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed his piety so that millions of people around the world commemorate that piety. They walk in his footsteps. They remind themselves of the legacy of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And so in today's brief khutbah, it is relevant that we remind ourselves, why is Ibrahim alayhi salam such a high role model? The one person in the whole Quran that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is told to take as a role model. I repeat, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is told to take as a role model his own father, his own ancestor, the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned over 70 times in the Quran. And his story is a constant story that is mentioned in over a dozen places. In fact, one of the first stories in the Quran is the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. In the very first pages of Surah Baqarah, the very first juz of Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. And recall, Ya Rasulullah, that Allah tested Ibrahim with many commandments, and Ibrahim fulfilled all of those commandments. And when Ibrahim fulfilled those commandments, Allah says, Inni ja'iluka linnasi imama. I will make you an imam for all of mankind. We have to ask ourselves, why is Allah reminding us of these stories and legacy? And the response, when we understand that when we follow the role model of the Prophet Ibrahim and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah will also give us a legacy. Not like them, they are prophets, but this is how we carve out our own legacy. This is how we fulfill the rights of the prophets on us by taking them as role models, by learning their lives and histories, by deriving lessons that help us in our daily lives. And so when we take the prophets as role models, we as well will get some of the barakah, some of the blessings they too were given. What were some of the blessings? What were some of the tests and trials that Ibrahim alayhi salam underwent? Because Allah says, I tested Ibrahim, and Ibrahim passed every single test. Look at how many tests he had been given. And of course, in one khutbah, we can only summarize some of them. Of the tests that were unique to him, is that he was the only believer in Allah even before the revelation began. As a teenager, as a young boy, wahi had not come down upon him. Revelation had not yet begun. His whole nation were idolaters. The world was a polytheistic society. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, as an 11, 12-year-old young child, he knew that idolatry was wrong. Not only did he know it was wrong, he stood up and he took a courageous stand. And he demonstrated the falsity of worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He challenged his entire nation of idolaters. He started with his own father. How painful that must have been for a child. He started with his own father, and he started with wisdom. He started with sound argumentation, and most importantly, with compassion and akhlaq and adab and love. He was not argumentative. He was not arrogant. He tried to reason in a loving manner. Ya Abati, my dear father, why would you worship that which is not going to benefit you or harm you? Ya Abati, my dear father, you're worshipping false gods. Ya Abati, my dear father, turn to Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman is the one that you should worship. He keeps on trying and trying, and his own father turns against him. His own tribe turns against him. The very king becomes involved, and the king wants to make an example of this young boy. And so the king threatens him, if you don't leave your false ways, the king says, you shall be executed. And despite being jailed, despite being tortured as a teenager, Ibrahim remains firm. And as you know, Nimrud builds that fire 3 days and three nights to try to persuade Ibrahim to stop. Ibrahim does not stop. And he is thrown into that fire without any helper other than Allah. And that's when he says, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us when Ibrahim was thrown into that fire that Nimrud made, this is the dhikr that he said. He taught us because he wanted us as well to memorize this dhikr. When the world has turned its back on you, when there is no helper in this dunya, then you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you say, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. And when you demonstrate that iman and that tawakkul, then even the fire becomes a garden, and even the punishment of men becomes mercy from Allah jalla jalaluhu. And so Ibrahim is saved from that fire, and he has no place to go, and so he leaves his land, he leaves his nation, he leaves his tribe. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first human being who had to flee for his religion was Ibrahim alayhi salam. Nobody before him had to flee for his religion. Ibrahim gave up his people, he gave up his tribe, he gave up his safety. And Allah blessed him by being the most venerated human in all of human history. It is true, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most chosen. And it is true, in terms of quality, the praise our Nabi is given, nobody else is given. But in terms of quantity, it is his father, Ibrahim alaihi salam. The Jewish people, the Christian people, the Muslim people, that is 60% of the globe, 60% of mankind, they venerate the Prophet Ibrahim alaihi salam. And Allah is demonstrating, when you give up something for my sake, I will give you back more than what you gave up. When you give up your people, I will give you the world. When you give up your tribe, I will give you billions and billions of people. Our Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam demonstrates what happens when you sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he goes into that land where another tyrannical king, in that pharaonic king of Egypt, there, where once again he is threatened and his wife Sarah is taken away, and once again he has no army, no helper, and so he falls down in sajda, he prays tahajjud in the privacy of his tent, he has none other than Allah, and he begs Allah to help his wife against the tyrannical king. And that is exactly what happens. And also the same phrase, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. And he goes from there and he makes his way to the land of Palestine, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to settle. And from there, Hajar gives birth to Ismail, and Allah says to them, go down to Mecca and build the first masjid that has ever been built for all of mankind. أَوَّلُ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكَةَ. At that time it was called Bakka. So Ibrahim goes down, and you all know the story. Hajar and Ismail are left over there. He doesn't even know what to tell Hajar. How is he going to explain to Hajar that Allah has told him to leave his wife and his daughter, his Hajar and his son? How is he going to explain to Hajar that Allah has told me to leave you? He can't even say anything. He simply walks away. And Hajar is confused. Where are you leaving me? How am I going to be taken care of? There's no food. There's no water. And she understands this is a higher order because she knows the gentleness of Ibrahim. She knows he's a very, very loving person. And now he seems to be doing something that is atypical. So she asks him, Allahu amaraka bihada. Did Allah command you? And that's the only thing he can say. Yes, Allah commanded me. And Hajar, who came into the household as a pagan, she was not a Muslim when she entered the household. But in that short time, she has absorbed so much iman that her sacrifice between Safa and Marwa will become legislated for billions of people. Her tawakkul in Allah is now a role model. The lady who submitted to Allah, the mother who showed her love for her son and put her trust in Allah, her acts of desperation, Allah recorded for every mu'tamir, every hajj. You will walk exactly on those footsteps and you will demonstrate, just as Hajar knew, Allah will take care of me. She didn't know how. She didn't know when. She put in the effort and she went from one mountain to the other, knowing that Allah would take care, not knowing how and where. And again, this shows us the reality. I have said this over and over again. You put in the effort and you put your trust in Allah. You do you. You have a plan. You have an agenda. You have a goal and you put your trust in Allah. Hajar was searching for water. She's going here and there and she doesn't realize Allah has a plan, but she has to show her as well. So she walks back and forth. She runs exactly where we run. And that iman that she had is embodied in the ritual of Safa and Marwa, the ritual of Sa'i that every single pilgrim does. We are representing that same battle. I don't know Allah's plan, but I must put in my effort and Allah will take care of me and Allah will give me a way out from sources I never expected. And lo and behold, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Hajar and Ismail with water that is so blessed. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is the most blessed food and drink on earth. There is nothing more blessed than ma'u zamzam. It is so blessed. It was a gift not just to Ismail, it was a gift to all of the Arabs and all of the Quraysh for 4,000 years. And then it was a gift and it remains a gift for every single Muslim. We are living testimony to the miracle of Hajar and Ismail. In the middle of the desert, how can all of this water come? Where does it come from? Where billions of people are drinking, billions of people continue to drink and the water never runs out. And the water is smack in the middle of the desert from underneath the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this is not yet another miracle of the barakah that Allah gave to Ibrahim and to Hajar and to Ismail. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ibrahim passed all of these commandments. Ibrahim was told, sacrifice your son. And even that, he took his son out and he said, Allah has commanded me to sacrifice you. What do you think I should do? And his son says, Ya Abati, if'al ma tu'mar. Ya Abati, the same phrase, Ya Abati, that 70 years ago, Ibrahim used with his own father. Now his son is using with him. And we learn another lesson. Another lesson we learn. Parents, listen to this. Children, listen to this. Allah is demonstrating when you show etiquette and manners to your elders, when you become an elder, Allah will bless you with youngsters who show you respect. Ibrahim showed respect to his father. Ibrahim showed utmost love and submission to his father. Even when his father said, get out of here. And his father said, I'm going to kill you if you leave my God. Ibrahim said, I love you. Salamun alayka. I'm going to make dua for you. Ibrahim never resorted to what his father resorted to. He maintained the higher, more moral ground. And therefore, when Allah gave him children, now he takes his son and says, oh my son, Allah told me to do something. What does the son say? Ya Abati, whatever Allah says, I'm going to do this. This demonstrates you want your children to be righteous. You begin with yourself and you begin with your own piety. We also see in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, patience, sabr in the face of adversity, preaching Islam to all of mankind, understanding that you might not see the fruits of what you want in this world, but Allah will give you those fruits. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to sacrifice his son. He only had one son, Ismail, at that time. When Allah told him to sacrifice his son, he attempted to do so, and Allah intervened.
Craftsman days are here at Lowe's, with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
And Allah saved his son. And not only did he save his son, he blessed him with another son. And from the two, Allah gave magnificent civilizations. Two of the largest civilizations came from his two sons. Ibrahim did not know this. He thought, that's the end of my progeny. But he put his trust in Allah. And when he put his trust in Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with that legacy. We also see over here, when Allah says in the Quran that وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى, Ibrahim would spend long hours in prayer in tahajjud, and Allah told our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that place he would pray, you should pray on the exact same spot. And this is what we call Maqami Ibrahim. It is still standing to this day, the same rock that Ibrahim alayhi salam stood on and worshipped, the footprints of which are there. Ibrahim alayhi salam prayed there, and he has gone, but the legacy of his piety remains. So much so, we are told, and all the hujjaj, when they go, we pray 2 rak'at right behind the maqam of Ibrahim to maintain that legacy. You will go, your good deeds will remain. You're not going to be there, but the good that you planted, the rituals that you did, the ibadah that you did, the worship of Allah that you did, Allah will not cause it to go in vain. Allah will never cause it to go in loss. And we also see over here the willingness to suffer and to sacrifice. Multiple times Ibrahim alayhi salam gives up for the sake of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him. Following the commandments of Allah in spite of how difficult it is. One of the most difficult realities, when Allah commanded him to follow an entire sharia, and a part of that sharia was the circumcision. And Ibrahim was the only Muslim at that time. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, he circumcised himself. Can you imagine somebody doing this? And he did it himself on his own body. Why and how? Because this is what Iman does. When Allah says you do, you do. And when you follow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses. And that's why Allah says, when he passed all of the tests, فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا, I will make you a role model for all of mankind. The main legacy, the main benefit from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when you turn to Allah, Allah will give you much more than what you had to sacrifice. When you show piety, your legacy will live long beyond you. When you stand up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you show servitude to Allah, that ibadah and that worship will make you somebody who will become a role model for mankind and beloved to Allah. And that's why the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was the only one of two who was a khalil of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا, Allah took Ibrahim as a khalil. Only two people have this status, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Ibrahim alayhi salam. And khalil means a close confidant. Khalil means the best friend, we would say in a vernacular. Of course, Allah does not have friends the way we do, obviously, but it is a terminology of love, of endearment. Two people have been given that high status, Ibrahim alayhi salam and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So dear Muslims, as we enter these blessed 10 days, as we enter the days of Dhul Hijjah, some amongst us are going to perform the Hajj. Those that are going, remember all of the steps that Ibrahim and Hajar and Ismail did. You will literally be walking on the exact locations they did. Recall their sacrifice, recall their tawakkul, recall their ibadah, and see how Allah blessed them. You want to be blessed, then do as they did. Those that are not going for the Hajj, first and foremost, if you haven't been, I must remind myself on all of you, do not delay. O Muslims, do not delay the Hajj if you can afford to do so. Go as fast as you can. expedite. This is an obligation that Allah has given upon all of you. And we see the reality that the logistics and the costs are going higher and higher every single year. So why are you delaying? If Allah has blessed you with wealth, do not delay. Go as soon as you can. And if you do not have wealth, you are absolutely forgiven, and continue to accumulate and make sure you have a fund for Hajj. Just like you have a fund for your house and fund for your college education, you should also have a small fund, what is reasonable for you to do, so that one day you're able to do the Hajj. And those of you that are not going for Hajj, know that those 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, regardless of whether you go or not, are the most blessed 10 days of the year. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are no 10 days, there are no days of the year that are more blessed than the days of Dhul Hijjah, these first 10 days. No good deed that you do outside of those 10 will equal those 10 unless you go as a complete mujahid and you die a martyr. That's the one deed you can do that is better than the deeds of these 10 days. If you're not doing that, then your dhikr and your sadaqah and your siyam and your good deeds on these 10 days are better than anything else you can do. So those that are not going for Hajj, doesn't mean you're off the hook. Rather, it means you have another set of rituals. Those that are going for Hajj, they know their rituals. They're going to be doing Umrah and Tawaf and Sa'i and Mina and Muzdalifah and Arafat. Those that are not going for Hajj, well, so many good deeds to do. These are the days you fill them with dhikr, with Quran. You fill them with sadaqah. You do udhiyah and qurbani. You do good deeds with your family. You bring happiness to the lives of other Muslims. And you fill these 10 days with the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, the day of Arafah, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. O Muslims, if you are standing in Arafah on that day, then Hani Allaka, welcome you, and you are indeed blessed and chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no day of the year that is more blessed than the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. No location that is more blessed than Arafah. No dua and no deed better than standing at Arafah, on Arafah, in Ihram, begging Allah on that day. And if you have not been, O Muslim, then aspire to go and plan to go. But even if you are not on the plains of Arafah, it is authentically narrated that the Sahaba and Tabi'un in Basra, in Kufa, in other places, they weren't doing Hajj. On the 9th, they would come to the masjid and they would spend the day in ibadah and the dhikr of Allah. And they would make extra dua, because our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best dua is the dua of Arafah. Now, no doubt the hadith primarily applies to being in Arafah. No doubt about that. But even if you're not in Arafah, you shouldn't just sit home and watch TV. It's still a blessed day. It's still a day that the Hujjaj are gathered. So even if you're not in Arafah, 9th of Dhul Hijjah, you should be fasting over here. And you should be doing extra ibadat. And you should be doing dhikr. And you should be doing your personal dua as much as you can, because it is a blessed day. And it is a holy day. These are the days of ibadah and dhikr. Even the days of Ramadan are not as blessed as the days of Dhul Hijjah. Our scholars say the last 10 nights of Ramadan are more blessed than the nights of Dhul Hijjah. And the days of Dhul Hijjah are more blessed than the days of Ramadan. Each one is its own. The last 10 nights of Ramadan and the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, these are the 10 most blessed days and nights of the year. And Ibn Abbas said, when Allah says in the Quran, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ, Ibn Abbas said, لَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ is the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Allah is giving qasam on the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So, O Muslims, take advantage of these days. Remember the legacy of Ibrahim and of Hajar and Ismail. Go through their footsteps, if not physically, at least mentally. Derive from their lives the concept of sabr, of tawakkul, of rida, of ikhlas, of sacrifice, of giving up for the sake of Allah, so that you too can attain some of that little barakah and the blessings that Allah has given to the righteous and pious. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who listen to the Quran and follow to the best of our abilities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are listening to the Quran and implementing in our daily lives. May Allah bless me and you with and through the Quran, and may He make us of those who its verses they understand and applies halal and haram throughout our lifespan. I ask Allah's forgiveness. You as well ask Him. He is the Ghafoor and the Rahman. O Muslims, we watch in sadness and in grief about what is happening over and over again in the land of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose that land for Ibrahim and for the righteous followers of his descendants after him. And we firmly believe for a period of time, those people were the descendants of Ishaq and Allah gave it to them for that period of time. But we also believe when they rejected the legacy of Ibrahim, when they turned away from the commandments of Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted that privilege from them and he gave it to the real followers and also the biological descendants of Ibrahim, and that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and those who follow him. We are the only real followers of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. We are the inheritors of his legacy, and including that is the promise of that land. That land belongs to the righteous of those who follow Ibrahim alayhi salam, and that is us. We are the rightful heirs of that land. And it is truly distressing. Every few weeks, these people even lower the bar and they show barbarity and inhumanity more so than we could have ever imagined. Just when we thought the situation was as bad as it could have gotten, these people, the apartheid regime, do even more barbaric and inhumane desecrations. How can you bomb a refugee camp when you're the ones who said to go and set up your tents over there? How can you deprive women and children of food and water? And the world watches, and our own administration becomes even more callous and callous. But we must remind ourselves, O Muslims, we must remind ourselves to not lose hope. Wallahi, I say to you, the tide is changing. The future is bright. The depravity of this group, the depravity of this regime, and the cold hard-heartedness of our own administration, it is now being shown to the whole world. And perhaps we hate something, but Allah will place good in it. And perhaps those people whom Allah has chosen to be shuhada, insha'Allah, their blood is not lost, O Muslims. Wallahi, their blood and their sacrifice, it is changing the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using their courage and their sabr. And this is not a justification, astaghfirullah. It's not a justification, but we have to console ourselves and we have to continue doing whatever little we can do. We all feel impotent. We all feel powerless. That is true. But still, we cannot lose hope, and we must persevere and persist, and we must push on. And insha'Allah ta'ala, we see one after the other, the superpowers and countries are withdrawing their support, one after the other, until finally only one is going to be left. And even this, it is only a matter of time before the very people of this land see this reality. And it is already happening, the growing discontent, the growing disconcertion, the growing anger at what is happening. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah. And so do not falter, do not lose hope, do not give up, continue to persevere, do whatever you can. And I say this, and I've said this 9 months ago, and I say it now, maybe, just maybe, this group has won the battle, but we have won the war without a doubt. Maybe this group has won this one battle if you just count the number of dead, but the war, the overall war, without a doubt, we have already won it. The moral victory, we have already won it. The depravity of these people has been demonstrated for all to see. And so it's just a matter of time. That's it. Put your trust in Allah and realize from the story of Ibrahim, we learn that وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْتَقْوَى وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, the final result will always be given to those who have taqwa. So raise the bar in your own life. Have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put your trust in Allah. And as we learn from the story of Ibrahim, the legacy will always be for the righteous. Even if we don't live to see it, Ibrahim alayhi salam did not live to see all of his grandchildren and great-grandchildren. He had no idea of the respect and the fame he would be given. He didn't see that, but Allah still gave it to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him like he blessed no other prophet. All the prophets after Ibrahim were from his progeny. Not a single prophet came except from his own children. And for 100 years, he didn't even know he would have children. For 90 years, he didn't even know he would have children. So put your trust in Allah. Persevere. Show patience. Show iman. Show tawakkul. Show sabr. Sacrifice for the sake of Allah. And the legacy will be ours, as it was to the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam.
Thank you.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.